are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening, and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, November 20th. And Mason, hit him one time.
Detroit basketball!
That's right, we go to Mason every time the Pistons get a win, and that was the eighth time we had needed the services of the great public address announcer at Little Caesars Arena. But this is your boy, Matt Shook, a sports writer here in the Motor City covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast. Go ahead and do me a favor this holiday season. Spread the word about the show to your friends and family who are interested in hearing a daily podcast with great analysis, great guests, and other fun stuff about your Detroit Pistons tonight. Today, I suppose. I guess it's tonight for me, but with podcasts, that's not quite how it works. Today, we're going to be wrapping up the win against the Cleveland Cavaliers on Monday night in downtown Detroit against the Cavs, like I said. I'm also going to tell you what I didn't really feel good about for the game, some concerns I have going forward, but a win's a win, of course. And later on, we'll talk about a Detroit Pistons player who has gone above and beyond charitably lately, and also going to talk about why the commissioner, Adam Silver, was in town in Detroit on Monday and what might be the most important takeaway from his visit in Detroit. But go ahead and, by the way, give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also give us a follow on the Locked On Pistons Twitter account at @LockedOnPistons. And give us a like on the Facebook page at @LockedOnPistons-MattShook. We'd really appreciate that. That's one of the most effective ways for us to spread the word about the show. And the bigger the numbers, you know how that works. The bigger the numbers, the easier it is to find. The more likes, the more retweets, pops up on other people's feeds. You know how this whole thing works. But quick note, scheduling-wise, with the Thanksgiving week that we're in the midst of here, we'll be skipping the Thanksgiving Day pod, as you probably guessed. But we will come back with something on Friday before the second Houston game. I'm not going to guarantee that it's going to be up the first thing on Friday like most of the podcasts are. We will see how that transpires. But we'll get something up at some point on Wednesday for your Black Friday and weekend entertainment as well. But on Monday, the Pistons got the win, 113-102. A win is a win, as I always say. Very nearly with the backdoor cover for the Cleveland Cavaliers, though. The 11-point margin did squeak by for bettors who had it a 9.5 or 10-point spread, depending on who you bet through. And I'll tell you a little bit later who you should be betting through, by the way. But just safe for the Pistons, but just barely after they were leading by 30 points at times in the second half. 8-6 on the season now for the Pistons, the first time that they are two games over 500 since they were 4-2 at the very beginning of the season. Andre Drummond paced the way offensively with 23 points and 16 rebounds. I thought more encouraging and more importantly, he had the three block shots, and in addition to that was a factor around the rim throughout the game. I thought he was a real presence defensively for the Pistons tonight. One of those games where less might have been more for him offensively, too many post-ups. We'll be screaming about that all season from the mountaintop here at Locked On Pistons. But he did have the 7 offensive rebounds, a nice game for him there, although some of them were cleaning up a lot of his own misses. But again, another usual consternation issues we have with Drummond, but a good game overall certainly for him. But he did have the 0-for-1 with another ugly 3-point opportunity that missed badly, as we are used to seeing by now. Blake Griffin, 21 points, 12 rebounds, and 5 assists. 21 points for Reggie Bullock as well, an outstanding game. Just high efficiency, as George Blaha and Special K Greg Kelser like to talk about during the broadcasts. Doesn't need the ball much, and that is certainly Reggie at his best. Not trying to do too much, but contributing in times, and he very much did that with a 21-point game on Monday night. 13 points for Reggie Jackson. He was okay. 4 assists, 4 turnovers. I don't know, just he had the tech from the bench. That was kind of weird. He got dusted by Colin Sexton a little bit, but a good young player. Not a great game for Reggie Jackson, but not certainly wasn't one where they needed all hands on deck for this one. 11 points for Ish Smith off the bench. He was a plus 22 and plus minus, which I know gets talked about as a bad stat for single games, but certainly can tell the story a lot of times. I thought that in this situation, it's a decent one because he did play very well, and he earned the plus 22. He tied Bullock, by the way, with the plus 22, the best on the team for this night. On Monday night, as a team, the Pistons had 26 assists, which is up for them. good mark for them. I believe on the Fox Sports Detroit broadcast, they said that when they're 20 and over, they're 8-2 this season. I might not be exactly right on that, but something in that vicinity. So maybe a nice barometer to see if the ball is moving, the Pistons are going to do well. And of course, we know if the ball has fallen from three-point land, that's a good barometer too. The Pistons were 13 of 38 from three-point land, 34% there. So rising up from some of the bad numbers that they had at the start of the season with the assists and the three-point percentage. The nice, decent night from three-point land brought the season-long percentage up to 32.2%, up at least a full point. So the Pistons moved out of the basement where they were last place in the NBA in three-point percentage before the game and all the way up to number 28 in the NBA. So a couple spots there. Go crazy, folks, up to 28. In three-point land. But the Pistons' assists per game, which we talked about a week or so ago, or probably a little bit more than a week now, they were last in the NBA about that. A few games into the season, about 10 or 12 games in the season. They have now moved up to 26th in the NBA. So slowly but surely, creeping up some of those rankings in the team stats as we see the offense kind of coming together a little bit. I think, you know, some of the opponents have something to do with that as well, especially teams like Cleveland who come in. Oh my gosh, just a nightmare for Dan Gilbert's group there. Langston Galloway, 2-for-10 from three-point land on Monday. Just wanted to point that out too. Such a gunner. I kind of love it, not going to lie. But again, the Cavs, just an atrocious team right now. One of those teams that's playing so poorly that you can feel your team is getting worse by playing them. You know, sometimes you want to get those kinks out, but you get some of those bad habits when you get up to that big lead and you start just a lackluster game. I thought the Pistons didn't really play well. Obviously, they shot so well in the first quarter, maybe a quarter and a half, that they got the big lead. And even when the offensive went into some little bit of lulls or long lulls, really, you know, there wasn't enough talent for Cleveland to score enough to chip into that lead until late in the third quarter, early fourth, when it got, you know, not dicey, but it got back down to about a 12-point game, and the starters came back in and quickly kind of extinguished the quick flame there. But I don't know how this Cleveland team beat Charlotte the other day. I know this is the NBA, and they will win games. They've got two wins right now. They'll get up to, I don't know, 12 or 15 or maybe 20 if they get lucky this season, depending on Kevin Love when he comes back. But I guess I'm going to give Charlotte a pass on that one for now. We didn't see that game. And again, it's the NBA. Some strange things happen on a night-to-night basis. But Colin Sexton, starting now in place of George Hill, who's out with an injury, 18 points. I thought he was good. Interestingly enough, we had Chris Manning on the show on Monday. I thought he'd get some good insight, including the David Nwaba talk, and we saw him playing four like David told us, or like Chris told us David would do, a two-man playing four. That didn't work out as Blake Griffin had his lunch a little bit there early on. But one of the things he talked about was the article from The Athletic written by Joe Verdon, who's kind of a notable NBA writer nationally right now, especially with the LeBron James beat that they had in Cleveland these last couple years. And that article talked about how some of the veterans in the Cleveland locker room were complaining that Colin Sexton didn't know how to play. And I was thinking about that article as I was watching the game on Monday night, and wow, and I was like, man, if there's like one guy on this Cleveland team who looks like he knows what he's doing out there, and that's Colin Sexton, and the rest of the guys don't know how to play. So, and I know that they've got the pedigree of going to the finals with all those times with LeBron James these last few years, but another observation I made, and I tweeted this one out, that I think we need to go back and maybe give LeBron James a few more MVP awards from these Cleveland years. I mean, this is a train wreck of a team, and a lot of the same guys were, you know, big-time players on the finals teams and championship team. Joe Verdon, by the way, the Athletic writer, went with when I was covering the Pistons Cleveland game early in the season, he went with a hooded sweatshirt to cover the game. So he was wearing a hooded sweatshirt, and I don't have a problem with that. I'm not the fashion police. So if you want to wear the hooded sweatshirt to cover the NBA game, not my pick, but again, I don't care. But he was also wearing a sport coat. So a hooded sweatshirt zipped up with a sport coat on top of it. And again, I don't have a problem with a sport coat. I think that's great. I think maybe I'll wear the sport coat sometimes, but again, fine with the hooded sweatshirt and fine with the sport coat, but when they put them together and you get the hooded sweatshirt with the sport coat, I don't know. It just was an odd choice to me. And I know that it sounds strange now that I'm talking about it on a not so popular podcast, probably in the grand scheme of things, national NBA wise. But I guess that's the whole point, that maybe someone's going to talk about the fact that you're wearing the hooded sweatshirt with the sport coat. I thought maybe there's a laundry issue. Maybe there's some better explanation for that. I don't know. Maybe we'll have Joe on and ask him about that at some point, the questionable hooded sweatshirt sport coat combo that I had never seen before. Or maybe I'm out of it, and that's a new thing that's going on. But anyway, the Pistons have the home-and-home coming up with Houston starting on Wednesday in Houston, and that will wrap Thanksgiving Day with that series. So Friday night will be the return match in Detroit. Wednesday's game is at 8 p.m., by the way, the biggest bar night of the year, so make sure you're by the TV when you're out with the bar for that one. And we'll be previewing that one on tomorrow's podcast coming up on Wednesday. Like I said, Friday back to a normal 7 o'clock start for the return bout with Houston back at Little Caesars Arena. And then next week, looking ahead a little bit, 4 o'clock this weekend on Sunday, Phoenix is in town for a matinee as some winnable games, 3 straight very winnable games next week in Detroit. And Tuesday night, the Knicks. Friday night, the Bulls before the back-to-back on Saturday night. Still in Detroit, the Golden State Warriors are in town. So a big week for a lot of reasons for Pistons and Pistons fans. A crucial stretch in the short term before an even more crucial stretch in the media term. Easy games in the short term, and then a really tough medium term as December is really, really tough. That's approaching very quickly for Detroit Pistons and Detroit Pistons fans. But up next, we're going to talk about the biggest thing I didn't like from Monday's game. But you know, ever since I started doing the Locked On Pistons podcast, people have been asking me for advice, and usually it's on what team to bet on this week. The truth is, I don't know who's going to win, but if you think you know, you got to check out my bookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you are betting with. And that's why I always tell people to bet with my bookie. Trust me, guys, they are your best bet this season. They have been in business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is very easy to use. Lay down some cash and win big today. I would only recommend a service that my listeners that have been good to me. That's why I'm urging you to make your way to my bookie. You win, they pay. They got in-game stuff, live betting. You can bet the halftime score, the most rewarding player perks in the business. And I checked out the website. Some great prop bets that you can bet too. Will Draymond Green get suspended again by the Golden State Warriors this season? Who will Carmelo Anthony play for next, with the odds on favorite being, quote, any Chinese team? You can also bet, will John Wall be traded by December 1st? And we know about the Washington Wizards. Adrian Wojnarowski had an article talking about how they're open for business in Washington for trading. And I know Pistons fans' ears perked up a little bit there, good or bad, whether your opinion on whether they should make a deal. You can make a bet on who Kawhi, Kyrie, Durant, Clay, Al Horford, who those guys are going to sign with next season. By the way, the Pistons are 12-1 odds to sign Kemba Walker next season, by the way. So if you want to lay down some coin there. But join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie, MyBookie. And don't forget to use promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. They will match your first deposit 100% all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid.
Yes, sir!
A little bit later on in the show, we will tell you why Commissioner Adam Silver was in town in Detroit on Monday and why you should care as a Pistons fan. But I touched on it a little bit while I was telling you about MyBookie, but ESPN.com's Adrian Wojnarowski and also Shams Charania of The Athletic, they went back and forth and did their battle of breaking news against each other. And the Washington Wizards were the big team. Adrian Wojnarowski kind of broke the news that all the Wizards players are on the table for trade talks. And I know Pistons fans, the ears perk up a little bit about that. But some of the details about a recent fight, and I believe this was Saturday that the team was practicing, and it got heated in a lot of ways. Coach Scotty Brooks told the team that he needed some more effort from them. And John Wall, team leader, responded with an F you. Didn't say F, but I'll let you fill in the blank there, which, man, that does letting some of this stuff get out does not help your trade posturing. So it makes you kind of wonder. And then I know that there was some scuffles, maybe verbal, between a few of the players, Bradley Beal, Otto Porter, Jeff Green, and Kelly Oubre included. I think there was two of those, the pairs teamed up a little bit on each other for some one-on-one scuffles and maybe even some verbal and possibly physical altercations as well. Like I said about the trade posturing, though, I don't get who benefits from this information being out, which is why I got to believe that it's probably coming from an agent or a player source to Shams and Adrian Wojnarowski, not really a front office source, because you wouldn't expect that they'd want to hurt their team's posturing and trade talks by getting some of this information out about some of those guys. So someone is trying to make their teammates look bad. Just another chapter of what's turning into a kind of an ugly start, a very ugly start for the Washington Wizards. Although they got things going a little bit. They had a three-game winning streak, but now it sounds like they're going to be blowing that thing up sooner rather than later. We've talked about that and how the Pistons might figure into some of those plans a little bit, and we will talk about that more. But enough for the trade talk for today. But speaking of ugly, the Pistons got some technical fouls on Monday in the fourth quarter against the Cleveland Cavaliers, despite being up by double digits and comfortably so for most of this game and the entire second half. Stanley Johnson, Jose Calderon, Reggie Jackson, and Andre Drummond all earned technical fouls in the fourth quarter. Stanley Johnson made kind of a gesture at the refs. I don't think he said anything when we looked at the replays, but it sounded like he made kind of a bombastic, like, where's the call, but just kind of saying it with his actions after he felt he got fouled. Jose Calderon, it was a couple of plays that kind of boiled over into one where he felt he got fouled on a drive that he eventually got blocked on. I don't know that he got fouled on that one, by the way. But rare for Jose Calderon to lose his cool and get a tech there. Reggie Jackson, obviously we don't know what happened there. He was on the bench. He seemed incredulous that he didn't do anything when the technical foul was called. And it's perhaps possible that the league or that the referees heard something from someone else and tabbed that on Reggie Jackson. We don't know for sure, but certainly we'll see. Maybe the technical foul gets rescinded by the league in the coming days. But Andre Drummond a little bit later on got a technical foul as well. And I'm just concerned that the Pistons are getting a rep. They're becoming that team that whines a lot about calls and starts getting technical fouls. They're now leading the NBA in techs. Another stat that you don't want to see yourself pinned down on, even if it's this early on in the season. So let's get off the refs a little bit for the Pistons. And I hope Dwayne Casey gets into them a little bit about this and kind of takes the brunt of the arguing and makes that his job as opposed to the players. Not only does this hurt your status with the refs overall, but it's going to hurt you in games too, and it makes you a lot less likable to your fan base. So let's be honest. I mean, if you're always bitching about calls, and you see it with the stars with this team, Blake, Andre, and Reggie, the quote-unquote big three for this group, they are all flagrant complainers. We know that from watching these games. Blake, and it seems like he's a tough guy to officiate. We've talked about that in the past with how physical he plays. And it seems like a lot of the arguing that has been for good reason on his part. Andre, it seems like whenever he misses a shot, he's looking at the refs. I saw it firsthand covering games a lot. Courtside, he immediately looks at the refs every time he misses. And that gets old for officials. And Reggie, when he gets frustrated, he does a lot of that stuff too. So let's take care of this as the Pistons. It was something that always bothered me about the going to work era. And it wasn't just Rasheed Wallace, all those guys got into a place where they were entitled and they thought they should get every call. It got annoying real quick, but at least those guys won and competed for titles, something that the Pistons aren't doing yet with this group, and probably won't ever do with this group. But as it's currently constructed, there needs to be some big changes before this team gets to that level. But let's take care of this, hopefully, if we're the Pistons, and not be that team that's always bitching about calls. But something I did like this past week from the Pistons was John Luehr. First off, not just John, but all the guys were out at shelters in Detroit in this past week doing giveaways on Friday, serving warm meals for Thanksgiving to some of the homeless shelters in the city of Detroit. They do the holiday photo ops as an organization, but this is better than that. This is guys kind of the blood or the sweat and all that stuff and doing out there and shaking hands and getting in the community. So good to see them do that kind of stuff. Just some good deeds from some pretty good guys from what we can tell here on the outside. But like I said, Pistons forward John Luehr donated 500 coats from an organization called Operation Warmth to those shelters as well. So hats off to John doing a little bit extra in addition to some of the things that his teammates were doing as well. So a nice thing for the city of Detroit and a nice thing by the Detroit Pistons organization. But speaking of nice things, the Locked On Podcast Network, we are doing unprecedented things on Twitter and Instagram. Go ahead and follow Locked On NBA Net on both Twitter and Instagram. Great stuff. Must follows for NBA fans. Check that out. as part of your social media diet. But up next, we're going to tell you why Adam Silver was in town on Monday and why you should care. That's up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. Across the network, I know you're already listening to Locked On Lions with Matt Derry. The Lions getting ready for a big Thursday tussle on Thanksgiving with the Chicago Bears. But you should also be listening to Isaiah Hole and Locked On Wolverines. I hear that there's a big game in Columbus that Locked On Wolverines might be talking about this week. And of course, Will Hunter, friend of the podcast, on Locked On Spartans as those guys prepare for the rest of their season, which is a little bit less exciting than Michigan's season right now. But the meeting with the Detroit Economic Club featured Dan Gilbert in town, as he always is, but of course more in the spotlight because his Cleveland Cavaliers were in town on Monday. But the owner of the Cavs and also the Detroit business tycoon of Quicken Loans, he was kind of the honored guest along with NBA Commissioner Adam Silver at the meeting for the Detroit Economic Club on Monday. Greg Krupa of the Detroit News, the Red Wings writer, also auto racing writer, the guy with the big beard, he had an article. He was there and wrote about it. Adam Silver talked about at this summit forum, basically, for the Detroit Economic Club at the Motor City Casino, that he was going to be meeting with Arne Tellem on Monday at the game. Of course, Pistons owner, liaison, Arne Tellem, their high up executive on the business side. And in my theory, also on the personnel basketball side these days, too. No confirmation on that. But Arne Tellem and Adam Silver were supposed to meet on Monday during the game. Talk about bringing the All-Star game to Detroit someday soon. And I'm sure giving Adam Silver the really nice tour of Little Caesars Arena. I'm sure he got it last year when he was in town too, but maybe buttering him up a little bit, hoping that the All-Star game can come to downtown Detroit sometime soon. We will see over the years if that ever comes to fruition. Other topics talked about in a forum that basically turned into a back and forth in front of a bunch of business folks between Dan Gilbert and Adam Silver. They talked about the legalization of betting, and Adam Silver believes that that will help the inconsistencies and anomalies be more out in the open if there's a lot of money being thrown down on something, so maybe the league can monitor that a little bit better, and I agree with that. He also said that he is in favor of 18-year-olds coming straight to the NBA from high school. Obviously, with the college basketball situation as it is, with the corruption, I think that that's something that we're going to be seeing as the years go on and the collective bargaining agreements come forward. I just think it's one of those things that the freedom of the kid, of the player, is something that outweighs the health of college basketball, which isn't very healthy right now, obviously, in terms of a long-term situation. They also talked about the how Adam Silver's in favor of parity. So changes could be coming to encourage that in the next collective bargaining agreement, possibly allowing teams to pay, you know, just one or two guys and not all these mechanisms for squeezing other top players under their salary caps. We know that Kevin Durant going over to the Golden State Warriors was a big reason for a lot of the competitive imbalances that we see in the Warriors, you know, clinching a couple of titles just with one stroke of the pen a couple summers ago. That was a lot because of the cap spike that happened that summer of 2016. We've talked about that. It has to do with Pistons history and NBA history, really, at that point. But it also had to do with Draymond and Steph Curry being on very reasonable contracts at that time. And then some of the same rules that are in place to encourage parity, in that the Warriors have the bird rights for guys like Curry and Draymond Green and Klay Thompson, that you can keep them there. You can go over the cap to re-sign your own free agents. So again, a mechanism that's there to encourage parity, to be able to have teams keep their own players. Those are the same ones that allowed those guys to stick around longer after Kevin Durant jumped aboard when the cap spike happened, and the Warriors were able to fit him under the cap and then go over the cap to re-sign some of those other guys. So it was a little bit of a perfect storm there with the big cap spike from the TV money coming in. Not much the league could do in that situation. That was more Kevin Durant's personal decision, one that we've railed about here on this podcast before, and you can see other places. We're all kind of tired of Kevin Durant, I think, at this point. And Draymond Green, you could probably include into that group. But let me know what you think about some of those possibilities and changes. Get in touch with us on the Google voice line, 810-666-1546. Send us a text. Leave us a voicemail, 810-666-1546. Check us out on social media as well. Spread the word this holiday season about the Locked On Pistons podcast. That will be your gift to me, and I really appreciate that. But this is your host, Matt Shook, saying we'll be back tomorrow talking about the Houston Rockets game. Pistons heading on the road for the biggest bar night of the year, and you can watch it from the bar as the Pistons go for another win. Try to go three games over 500, their third straight victory. Nice little run the team's on here, and we will be back to talk about it tomorrow and throughout the season here on the podcast. Thanks for listening, everyone. Spread the word, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.